keeping us on our toes today, Garrett. Welcome to worship, everyone. We're glad you are here. As you can tell, we're taking a little break from the Lenten purple to celebrate with red today. Thanks, everyone, who got the memo for wearing red today, because we are celebrating the Spirit's movement in our midst, especially as we welcome our confirmation students this morning. And we are so glad that you are with us. And for those joining us online, all the prayers and the hymns will be on the screen, so that we hope you will join us as we worship God together this morning. A few quick announcements. If you turn over on the back of your bulletin, you can see the schedule for Holy Week. Hard to believe that Palm Sunday is next Sunday already, but you can see the schedule of services for Holy Week, and we hope that you will join us as we walk this holy path to the cross and to the good news of Easter together. Also, please mark your calendars. Saturday, April 29th, the spring cleanup. There will be a lot more information coming in the next few weeks about that. And if you look inside your bulletin, today is the last day to sign up for the mission trip. So if anyone is thinking about going, please let us know your interest. Even if you've still got to work out some details, please let us know. We need to get a sense for who all wants to go. There is information about that in the bulletin. If you did not get a chance to send a letter last week around our offering of letters with Bread for the World, those letters are still available in the fellowship hall and online, so we hope that you will come help us advocate for folks who are hungry through that. And our Lenten practices continue, so we hope you're still collecting cans and participating in the daily devotions and all of that good stuff. So there's a lot going on. We hope you will join us in it. And at this point, I'd like to invite you all, though, to take a deep breath and to quiet your heart and your mind, and to become aware of the love that is both within us and all around us. Please join me in the call to worship. God calls us as we are, for God made us.
God calls us to worship with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Christ calls us where we are to do what we are made to do.
Christ calls us to follow Him and to love one another as He loved us.
The Spirit calls us to lives of faith and service. We gather together this day to join in the work of God in the world all around us. With joy and thanksgiving, we worship the Lord our God, who fills us with good news and sends us out to be God's servants in the world. Please rise in body or spirit and let us join together in singing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
we celebrate the good news that God is always with us, and yet so often we live our lives as though that is not true. Let us join together in a time of confession that we might open ourselves up to God's presence, God's healing mercy anew. Please join me. Holy God, through Jesus Christ, you have shown us how you are present in the world around us. Forgive us for not noticing or ignoring your presence in our midst. In the lives of neighbors who suffer brokenness and pain, we confess that you are there. In the struggle of the poor, the downtrodden, the oppressed, we confess that you are there. In creation's cry for love and healing, justice and peace, we confess that you are there. Forgive us when we go about our lives and do not look for your presence in the people we meet or creation itself, and we miss the opportunity to value who they are and support their abundant life. Free us from our narrow focus and fears, our prejudice and indifference, that we might recognize your presence all around us and then become your healing, liberating presence for others. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. God calls us to live a new life.
Free from sin and free to serve God and others.
Friends, believe the good news and live by it.
In Jesus Christ, we are
prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us join together in a prayer seeking God, seeking our understanding. Let us pray together. Incarnate God, walk with us on our Lenten journey as we seek your living word for our lives. Open us to your presence along the way in prayer and scripture, in contemplation and the community around us, so that we might be strengthened to follow you each day, living your love and sharing your good news through our words and actions. Amen. Our first lesson is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured.
Our second scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 25. Listen again for God's word. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. I received an email this week from my eye doctor telling me that it was time for my annual eye exam. Annual exams are the best way to ensure that your eyes stay healthy, the email said. I thought the choice of words was important. They didn't say, it's time for your annual exam to see how your vision has eroded at your age. Or it's time to come and see which row of letters you can still see. Then you get your eyes dilated so that you can wear those weird roll-out sunglasses and ultimately have to pick a new pair of glasses because it turns out your vision has eroded. If they said all of that ahead of time, I don't think I would schedule the exam. Besides, what's the best outcome? That nothing has changed. That I didn't need the exam after all. That's the funny part of our health care coverage, paying for annual exams to make sure nothing has changed or to address whatever has. Either way, to make sure my eyes stay healthy. It seems timely to receive that email this week as we listen to our scripture readings today in the letter to the Hebrews and the Gospel of Matthew. The ability to see well matters in both passages, as it does for our overall theme this Lent. God is still with us. It's not uncommon for us to say God is with us, especially around Christmas time. But this year, we added the word still. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says that the word still can mean in spite of or a continuance of an action or condition. For example, in spite of Christmas being over and the decorations being put away, and now being 3 months into a new calendar year, and 5 weeks into the season of Lent, God is still and will continue to be with us. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us continues to be present. That's part of the point of incarnation, author Jamie Clark Soules writes, to help us stop imagining God and Jesus as up there in some ethereal realm that is untainted by humanity, while down here is the mundane, profane world unfit to host God, as if it were our houses unfit for a visitor. Incarnation is not a once-a-year event, but a continuing condition and action of God. Incarnation won't let us separate the world into binary categories of up there and down here, divine versus human, heaven versus earth. What is deepest in life, all of life, is of God. That's what the Word becoming flesh came to show us, if our eyesight is healthy enough to see it. So maybe the best way to hear our scripture passages today, then, is as part of a wellness checkup of our faith and how our faith helps us see God in our lives, church, community, and world. That's the point of scripture, according to John Calvin, to help us see the world more clearly. In his Institutes of the Christian Religion, Calvin wrote, for as the aged, or those whose sight is defective, when any book, however fair, is set before them, though they perceive that there is something written, are scarcely able to make out two consecutive words. But when aided by spectacles begin to read distinctly, so Scripture, gathering together the impressions of the deity, which till then lay confused in our minds, help us, dissipates the darkness and helps us and shows us the true God clearly. Let me see if I can say that differently. You know what it's like when you see words on a page, but you can't read them until you get some help from eyeglasses or something else? That's what Scripture is supposed to do to help us as well. It gathers up the work of God to help us see the dark in the darkness and show us God more clearly. Calvin's point is that Scripture is supposed to keep our eyes, the eyes of our faith, healthy. Not just the physical seeing, but the deeper seeing, the insight that comes when we look into life more deeply. This is true throughout the pages of Scripture. Abraham saw three people walking toward him in his desert and his camp in the desert. And he realized that these weren't just people. They were messengers of God come to tell him about the son he would have with Sarah. Moses saw a bush on fire and realized it wasn't being consumed. And then he heard the ground of all being tell him the name of God. I am. The essence of life wanted freedom for people, for Moses' people. Peter, James, and John went up on a mountain with Jesus one day and they saw him transfigured into who he really was, the resurrected and beloved Son of God. Yet the problem, according to the Gospel of John, is that the light was in the world and the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people and his own people didn't welcome him. Over and over again, there is this question throughout Scripture. How are we looking at this world and recognizing the presence of God? Our reading in Matthew 25 is the quintessential passage to check the health of our vision as people of faith. It's one of Jesus' last parables before the events of Holy Week. If there are parts of it that make you feel uncomfortable, then the parable's doing its job. It's about the last judgment. It would be easy to dismiss this passage and say that we believe in a loving and gracious God who would never do what it says, divide people up. But this passage doesn't let us get away with just saying God is love and grace in an empty, meaningless kind of way. In Jesus' parable, the Son of Man returns at the end of time, gathers all the nations of the earth together, and then separates them into two groups, sheep and goats. The sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. The sheep are blessed while the goats are cursed. The sheep inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundations of the world while the goats do not. The sheep inherit eternal life while the goats go into eternal punishment. These two groups are what make this parable an invitation to check the wellness of our faith. How are love and grace truly the lens through which we look at the world? Or are they only empty religious language? According to the parable, the sheep were blessed because of how they responded to people in need. I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me something to drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you gave me clothing, sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me. What the sheep didn't realize was that just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me, the Son of Man says. They didn't realize God was present in the people they served. But neither did the goats. They too encountered the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner. They saw all of these people and did nothing. The sheep did the right thing, even though they didn't recognize who they were really serving. The goats did nothing, only to realize that all those people were the presence of God. They weren't just the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner. They weren't just the categories of needy people that we create. They were human beings, created in God's image. And what was deepest in all of them was of God. And the goats did nothing. I don't think we're supposed to simply hear the message that one group makes it to heaven while another doesn't. In reality, neither group had very good eyesight. both are supposed to learn that someone deeper was present in all the people with needs. Yes, the sheep get eternal life while the goats don't, but that seems too simple a conclusion. It doesn't ask us why we do good deeds, or why service is at the heart of the Christian faith. I mean, you can do good deeds and still make people feel bad for the service you offer them. You can go on mission trips and still treat people you serve as helpless and even blameworthy for their situation. You can give food to the poor and still believe that it's their fault that they're poor. But what happens when we look into their lives more deeply and actually see the sacred in them? What happens to us when we listen to and value their experience and perspective? I think it makes us vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable to the realities at work in their lives and ours. Like maybe they are poor because of systemic forces that create poverty. And maybe people of color feel devalued because of racism baked into our structures. What if we actually believed that those people we call those people have the presence of God in them too? How does that change what we see and what love and grace really mean? As one commentator put it, Matthew 25 changes how much we open our lives to others. To be deeply involved with such people means to be implicated in their predicament, to be incriminatingly linked to their situation, and no doubt to be guilty by association. Matthew 25 demands something more profound than altruistic endeavors. It calls us to see people as part of the good creation God intends, as carrying the presence of God among us. It won't let us dismiss poverty and racism and sexual identity or anything else simply as issues to solve rather than people who are expressions of God to nurture and serve. The Presbyterian Church has started an initiative called Matthew 25. The initiative issues the challenge to actively engage in the world around us so our faith comes alive. I think that's what both the sheep and the goats missed. How faith could come alive as they served the Christ present in each person they met. But that's our invitation as people who know the whole story of our faith, to develop a healthy sight and insight as people of faith. I think that's when eternal life becomes more than talk about heaven somewhere else. Eternal life becomes knowing the presence of God here and now in people and communities and creation. In her book, Receiving the Day, Christian Practices for Opening the Gift of Time, author Dorothy Bass says that most days when she is asked, "How was your day?" she doesn't know how to respond because she forgot to notice. She just kind of lives through it. A mother she knows has a different way of asking the same question. As she tucks her children into bed at night, their teeth brushed and their hair still damp from the bathtub, she asks them, "Where did you meet God today?" And they tell her one by one, "A teacher helped me. There was a homeless person in the park. I saw a tree with lots of flowers in it." She tells them then where she met God. And before the children drop off to sleep, she writes, "The stuff of this day has become the substance of their bedtime prayers." A number of churches I have worked with have made a commitment to become a Matthew 25 church. And I say become because they realize that what Matthew 25 is suggesting isn't yet the way they think or act. To help them, one church decided to ask itself, "Where did we see Jesus in our ministry this week? And where did we miss seeing Jesus?" They are asking those questions at session and deacons meetings and at their committee meetings. They want their ministry to shape them into seeing their work as holy because they also see the presence of God in their work. And they're trying to hold themselves accountable to those places where the work gets separated from being a place and a people of faith. there seems to be this journey in this passage in the midst of all of this, a pilgrimage of developing and maintaining a healthy vision of faith that is doing the service. It's seeing deeply into the lives of people we serve and then experiencing eternal life here and now in the midst of that service. Nikos Kazantzakis tells the story of a monk whose greatest desire was to make a pilgrimage to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Over the course of many years, he was able to save and beg the sum of 30 pounds, just enough to take him to his destination. The monk stepped through the gates of the monastery to begin his journey, but no sooner had he done so than he met a beggar, bent low to the ground, picking herbs. The beggar asked him where he was going. "To the Church of the Holy Sepulchre," he replied. "By God's grace, I shall walk around it 3 times, kneel and pray, and return a new and better person." The beggar looked at him with longing eyes. He said, "Give me the 30 pounds for my hungry family. Walk around me 3 times. Kneel and pray and return to your monastery." The monk paused, scratched the ground with his staff, looked into his heart, and gave the beggar the 30 pounds. He walked around him 3 times, knelt and prayed, and returned to the monastery a new and better person. For he had seen in the beggar Christ himself, right outside the monastery gate. Where is the Christ around you? Let's do a wellness check of the journey that we're on to see more deeply into this life until the service we do connects us to what is deepest in all of life, the eternal presence of God, still with us, here and now. Amen.
Confirmation students and a new member that's coming, and I would invite you all to come join us up front here because we would like to introduce you to the congregation. Come on around. You can bring them with you if you want.
You already know the answers. You don't need them.
So come on up, you're done. Yep, great.
You face this way.
So today we have the pleasure of doing two different things. The first thing we're going to do is welcome a new member into the life of our church, and I'd like to introduce you to Julia Whalen, if you could raise your hand, Julia. Julia was confirmed in another church, so she is going to join us today, as a new member would, by transfer of letter, and so we're going to do that part first, and then we're going to do the next part. So, Julia, you trust in the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, do you? And do you promise to participate actively and responsibly in the worship and mission of this church, sharing your gifts and talents and helping us as we seek to serve God as one community of faith? Do you?
I do. Do we, the members of the First Presbyterian Church, receive Julia into the membership of this church? Do we?
We do.
And do we promise to encourage, pray for, work alongside, and make Julia one with us in our family of faith and ministry? Do we?
So we have also have seven new confirmation students to introduce to you. And to give you some context, this year we developed a year-long high school conversation with them And then over 4 weeks, Tammy, Stephanie, and I met with them in the evening to talk about what it means to be a member, an active participating member in the life of this church.
And we'd like to encourage you to read in the bulletin. Stephanie has put together a really nice explanation of a lot of the changes that we have made to our confirmation program this year, because we really want the whole congregation to understand what we're doing. Confirmation is not graduation out of Sunday school. It is not a rite of passage we just do so we can have a party with our family and friends. Confirmation is one part of an active journey of faith that continues throughout our life. And so we wanted to help our kids understand more about what it means to belong to a community of faith, wherever we are in what we believe.
So they are close to in order, and it's in your bulletin. You want to introduce them?
Sure. And when I say your name, raise your hand so everybody knows who you are. Elliot Bentley, Casey Chin, Megan Donnelly, Anna Hagen, Brianna Heidi, John Mosca, and Emily Whalen. Great.
All right, so this is your moment. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you?
This is going to be like a tennis match. Now you look at me. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying His word and showing His love? Will you?
And will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers? Will you?
Do we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ and the First Presbyterian Church, receive these young people into the membership of this church that we may encourage them, pray for them, work alongside them, and make them one with us in our faith and ministry? Do we?
We do.
So we want to take a little bit of time now to symbolize this commitment that we have made together. So what we need first is for you all to step forward and spread out the length of the pew so that there's space between you. And then the second thing we need is for the families of these eight people to come forward and stand behind them. Parents, as you're coming up, Tammy and Stephanie have something for you to hang on to.
So, Frank, here's that.
So hang on to this. We'll tell you what to do in just a minute here. Come on forward. It doesn't look like it, but there's plenty of room. Yeah. Confirmation is a special time in the life of our young people, and it's kind of like what we do at our ordination installation. And so this is an act of the community in many ways. So let me invite the whole congregation now to stand and come forward as we offer a time of prayer together for these eight. And you might want to bring your bulletin. That's okay if you didn't. You've got to move, right? And as close as you can, put a hand on the shoulder in front of you, and parents, put a hand on the shoulder of your young person. And if you can't get up front, we'll just be in the aisles together. Together. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks this day for these eight who have professed their faith to you and in our midst. We are thankful for the ways in which you are continuing to grow them and to help them be the people you want them to be. And we are grateful for the gift that they are to us. So this day, we pray that you would help them to feel your presence through us as we are a church together for them and with them. As a church, O God, we pray this day that you would help us to understand our life anew, to understand again the calling we have to be a community for one another and for this world you love. And as they join us and as we become one church together, help us to know again your call and to help us to follow it faithfully as we seek to serve you in this world you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, parents, before everybody goes and sits back down, what we need you to do now is to is as a symbol of the confirming of the faith of these young people, to lay the stole over their shoulders that we may celebrate the faith that they will now own themselves. So, did it work for everybody? We good? So let us say a word of thanks and congratulate these for their presence among us. And with the words in the bulletin, let's welcome them into our church. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you into our family of faith. And we thank God for the gift of your presence with us. By the power of the Spirit, let us join together to share in the ministry of Jesus Christ and the mission of this church. So welcome to you, Ace. We are glad that you are among us. And we have certificates that we are not going to try to give you at this moment. But nonetheless, welcome. And you may now return to your seats.
Lots to celebrate today. Certainly these eight in front of us who have joined us and Testing. Yeah.
This is love.
All right. So, what joys and concerns do you bring that we may pray for one another? Samson. Great. Yeah. All right. All right. So we give thanks for Aslan, your pet, your cat, and all of our other furry friends who make life so rich and wonderful. Yes. Other joys and concerns. William. Great, thank you. And 28 cans, that's what we should be up to for now. Great. Other joys and concerns, go.
We recognize that we're actually all back in the sanctuary again, and we noticed that at the worship design meeting. And it also occurred to us, we're not so concerned about touching things causing contagion, so we have our children's activity box. Just as a reminder.
So, thank you. Yep. And the joy that we feel when children join us in worship and how important that is for us all as a community of faith to be together. So we have some fun things for the kids. Yeah.
The joy of welcoming all these really young people into our congregation.
Yeah.
By church life.
Yep. Big joy. Yes.
Speaking of our big and furry friends, our kid in the Walmart party has sometime in the vicinity of the last couple of days have turned a year old.
All right, all right. More of pet birthdays. Yeah, great. Other joys and concerns.
I think we should have cake in the fellowship hall for that.
Yes, well, you know, funny you should mention it because in honor of our confirmation students, we have a lot of cake in the fellowship hall. So for those of you who are celebrating birthdays, we'll just pretend it was for you too. Deanna?
Continued prayers for John.
Continued prayers for John. We will pray. Yes. Connie?
Prayers for everyone around the world who's suffering from hunger or the effects of war or the effects of climate change, world refugees, there are many people who are suffering.
Yes, we pray for all those around our world who are suffering from all kinds of big things that are far beyond their control, and also that that may prick up into some action, too. Yes, Anne?
Prayers to serve my college friend of mine named Carol, who's having surgery this week that could be kind of
so we pray for Carol and her surgery. Yes.
Prayers for Lisa's dad and his hospitalization.
Yes. So Lisa Flanagan, our office manager, her father is in the hospital as well, and so we pray for him.
And for John Gruber, I lost his brother.
Yep. And for John Gruber, whose brother died this week. Yes.
All right. For all those who are coming from pregnant.
Yep. Yep. I wish they would stop, like, giving spring break on Holy Week. It's, like, really hard. Anyway, but for all of you who are traveling, safe travel. We continue to pray for Tanya. Yes. Others? Yep. So prayers for all those affected by the tornadoes recently down south. Yep. Karen.
Prayers for the victims of families of those who have come to the fentanyl epidemic. There was a student, one of my guys, who passed away. Last week on the 20th birthday, due to fentanyl overdose. So prayers for that whole family.
Yeah, so we pray for all those who are being impacted and affected by the fentanyl epidemic in our country and all those whose lives are impacted by addiction as well. Yes. Yes.
And prayers for a co-worker who's had a lot of setbacks battling cancer from 9/11, and for friends of ours who just lost both their parents over the past week.
So the person who is battling cancer,
Paul,
we pray for Paul, and then
Georgine,
who lost both of her parents recently. We will pray. Any others? And let us bring all of that together into a time of prayer. Let us pray. God of self-giving love and service, we thank you for Jesus, who both taught us and then showed us what it means to love and serve you faithfully. So often our vision is clouded by our own assumptions and expectations, our biases and limited understanding. Too often we follow somebody else's priorities rather than yours. Clear our vision so that we may see your presence in every person we meet, and that we may see your spirit already at work in every place we go. May we enter into the lives of those we serve so that we not only help them, but love them as you love us. Help us to discover that we will find your abundant and eternal life when we faithfully follow the one who came not to be served, but to serve. We praise you, O God, for the young people who have joined our church this day. We thank you for the many ways you have been at work in their lives up to this point, especially through the love of their family and friends and other faith communities. And we thank you for their presence with us here in this faith community. Fill them with your Spirit's presence and power and guide their paths, that they may continue to grow in their awareness of whom you created them and called them to be, your beloved children and faithful disciples. Open our eyes and hearts to new understanding and new opportunities to grow together in our ministry and mission as we serve you and this world you love. Hear us, O God, as we lift up the joys of our lives, the little blessings, the little ways that we know that you are with us from day to day, and the big things that bring us joy. Hear us, O God, for as we give you thanks for everything that we are grateful for. We also ask, O Lord, that you would be with all those that we have mentioned and all those we carry on our hearts this day. Hear us, O Lord, in the silence as we bring the people and places, the fears and concerns of our lives before you this day. Loving God, surround us all, those we have prayed for and even ourselves, with your healing love and sustaining presence, that we may continue to live each day in hope and faith, trusting that you will be with us, loving and guiding us every step of the way. We lift up these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we come into a time of offering, you are invited to think about everything you have seen and heard this day, and where you have seen God in our midst this day, and how you might respond to that. Not only with your resources, but also with your prayers and with your active engagement in our life and ministry here. So in this time together, let us reflect and let us give. And let us be generous as God has been with us.
Thank you.
dedication printed in your bulletin, and which I found this week and thought was especially appropriate for our service today, and I love the author's name, Canaan Banana. That is one heck of a name for a prayer. Anyway, great, let's pray together. Open our eyes, O Lord, that they may see the deepest needs of people. Move our hands that they may feed the hungry. Touch our hearts that it may bring warmth to the despairing. Teach us the generosity that welcomes strangers. Let us share our possessions to clothe the naked. Give us the care that strengthens the sick. Make us share in the quest to set the prisoner free. In sharing our anxieties and our love, our poverty and our prosperity, may we partake of your divine presence. Amen. Now let us share the peace of Christ together, first in sign language and then with our neighbors. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all and also with you. Let us share the peace.
Blessing and sending and printed in your bulletin. We will go now in God's world. We will go now to serve Jesus' sisters and brothers. We will go now to share the Spirit with everyone we meet. And as you do so, may you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit always. You may be seated. And after our postlude, we invite you to come out this way to welcome our new members in our church and to join them for celebration in the fellowship hall.